It is time now for the Berkshire Edge On Air. Of course, the Berkshire Edge On Air is just a glimpse of some of the stories you'll find at theberkshireedge.com. That is theberkshireedge.com. And with us, we have both Marcy and David. And we say good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
David, good morning.
Yeah, we can hear him.
What was it? We did not hear the brouhaha.
Well,
what happened?
Just about
our major computer is out, and that means for the past 7 minutes I've been scrambling.
It's been longer than that.
Yeah.
So, can you see our site?
We've got you. We've got no problem. I've got.
You
guys are okay. It's anything that has on the phone line. We're all right. Anything that has to do with Skype or anything else, we're dead in the water. Is David there?
Yes,
I am here. Yes.
Okay, we're getting a little echo this morning. It's very strange.
Oh really? Do you want to?
No, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. I just think it's the phone company for the time being at the morning. We'll start
Maybe
off.
They're blocking your calls.
One could only
hope. Have you been
hope.
A bad boy?
One could only
Apparently.
Hope.
All right. I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Why don't we start off with our lead story today?
Yes.
This
very
is a sad, sad
very
story.
Sad.
Sad story. And with a Connecticut connection as well.
Yeah. This is the Ethiopian Air, the MAX 8 737 that went down in Ethiopia a couple of days ago had on it a passenger from Sheffield, actually named Samia Stumo, and she's really sad, but she's quite a remarkable young woman.
24 years old.
Yeah, 24 years old, and she and her family are on a mission to improve global health, so she just happened to be on that plane.
We have a whole article. Her mother is a niece of Ralph Nader, so that there is that Connecticut connection. But she was working for a nonprofit called ThinkWell, which is devoted to creating health systems for 6 African countries.
Yeah.
So she has studied in Copenhagen. She's worked and studied in Europe, and she's worked and studied in Africa. And she had the bad luck to be on that Ethiopian airline. So it's. And actually, we heard about it because one of our readers sent us an email saying that her granddaughter had gone to school with this young woman, with Samia Stumo, and had heard right away that she was on that plane. So we looked into it. So we probably were the first ones to have the story. Although the Globe had it too, but the Ethiopian Airlines, for some reason, was very slow in releasing the passenger list. But anyway, it's not a question of who's first. I mean, it's a sad day for her family and really a terrible loss for this community and for the world. She was a very promising and beautiful young woman.
Well, you look at the story on the local level, and then you spread it out to the national and world level, where that plane is now under intense scrutiny, it brings it home even more when there's a local person involved.
Oh yeah, well, and also you wonder. I mean, but it's not just a local story. I mean, this would be devastating to Boeing, which is a major employer of thousands and thousands of people on our West Coast. So, this is a disaster for them.
On the other hand, it could be that there's something about this plane that people knew.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, this isn't the first time.
It's the second time.
But there are other incidents that pilots are reporting, which they were able to control the sudden descent of the complain. And in this case, apparently not, or two cases, actually, apparently not. So there's something odd about this plane under certain circumstances, and you wonder if the problem is that the very close relationship between Boeing and the FAA has made a serious investigation of these incidents prior to these accidents. It just hasn't happened because of you might call it a cover-up. Just a question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I listened to some pilots and to some other people about this, and they all had the same thing to say. The American pilots is that a problem was discovered after the first crash, and
yeah.
That was that there was a switch, an additional switch, when leveling problems happened on takeoff that pilots could throw on that plane. That was something that was not passed along, and so they recommended retraining of pilots. So
that hasn't happened yet. That was going to happen in April.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what the problem is, and everybody knows what the problem is. And American pilots have been retrained, by the way, because there was only two carriers that were doing this. But all the other carriers that bought this plane, it appears that training had not happened. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this all breaks out in the future. But it's sad that so many people are now between both those planes. Over 300 people have lost their lives. So
yes.
It makes it a very, very, very,
oh,
very
boy.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to the second story, which makes me feel a little better. The Edge is the media partner with the Railroad Street Youth Project. You're producing a forum. Weed is here. Now what?
Yes, we're having a forum at the Mahiwi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington tonight from 7 to 9, and it's free to the public. The topic of the forum is Weed is Here, Now What? And it focuses on the implications and consequences of the legalization of recreational marijuana. This is going to be a very interesting discussion because, as you know, and we've discussed before, there are at least five pot shops that will be soon open in Great Barrington, plus another couple in Sheffield, close to the Connecticut line. We are becoming pot central, and questions have been raised, many of them by us. You know, we have run a terrific series by a writer named Sheila Clary, who is also written this piece that we're featuring today, which is an interview with Chris Tucci, who is the head of the Railroad Street Youth Project, and he's going to be a panelist on our forum. But he's actually deputy director.
He's deputy director. Nanda Tamping.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
And at any rate, this is an issue that we've been very close to and is of great concern, so we're hoping that this will be a productive conversation. And we have on the panel, we have Andrea Harrington, who's the new district attorney for Berkshire County. We also have the Great Barrington Chief of Police, Bill Walsh. We have a Great Barrington Select Board member. And we also have Chris Tucci, of course, from the Railroad Street Youth Project, and we will probably have others. But the hope is to bring together people to really start a community conversation, and for the community to begin to work together to set norms and expectations about pot here in the Berkshires. So we're very pleased to be part of this, and we think it's really a responsible way for us and the community to be going.
Well, that's the whole thing, because with legalization, you want to counsel minors,
yeah,
and young teens,
right,
about the cons. I mean,
right,
everybody knows the pros, but it's the cons and the other consequences that people sometimes tend to ignore, almost like with opioids. Everybody knows the consequences,
right?
But they're still handed out by doctors. So this is this. I think this is. Are there going to
be?
Are there going to?
We're the first community to do this.
And are you going to have more of these forums as you go on with them?
Well, it would be nice to have them. We don't have a plan yet, but we would certainly, you know, if this one, we'll see how this one works.
All right.
We think that it's very important to have an ongoing conversation about this. It's not going to be finished in one session, but that's really going to be the decision of the coalition, but we would certainly support it.
All right. Well, the next story that we have is road trip.
Oh, Carol Owens, right. This is an interesting piece on the historic on the history of America can be told by driving from Great Barrington to Williamstown. And it's interesting, she looks at this is part one, by the way. She looks at the various historical structures that you can find in Williamstown and along the road, and you can traverse 300 years in just a short time. So it's kind of an interesting. It's an architectural treasure trove, she says.
Yeah, and this is really interesting. Somebody will read this article. I mean, if somebody interested will read this article, because we do describe, or Carol describes, the houses one by one, including, I mean, she says, start this trip in Williamstown at the intersection of Route 7 and 2 on the Old Green, and you'll find the Regulation House, which was built by the British. And these were the, this was...
1753.
Very interesting. It's an old, in that it survived. It's 18 by 15 feet, clad with split shingles, a one-room house with a chimney on one wall, and it was intended for a family of two. And then it was built so that the house could be enlarged as the family got larger. And it did. I mean, sections were added to it. So it's very interesting.
That is the road trip.
Road trip, yes.
Road trip, yes.
And it's not a very long road trip. It's a 45-minute drive. And you'll see history alive.
Well, I think in this whole area, in the whole media tri-state region, you can probably travel 10 or 15 minutes and find something really historic that dates back to the foundation of our country and before the foundation of our country.
Yes.
So road trips around here are kind of cool. I know as a teenager, we used to go out and what we used to call it, get lost in the car for go on roads we would know about, and you'd always find always find something historic that you didn't see before.
Yes, you do. It's true.
We'll move on now, because something we do know about, that our region is a mecca for the arts and culture.
Yes.
That's right. And we have a local playwright, Jim Frangione, who and a member of, founding member of what is called the Bircher Playwrights Lab, which encourages and production and the creation of local plays, and runs a radius, what's called a radius playwright.
Radius Festival.
Radius Festival, which is all local plays.
It's called Radius because it accepts plays only from writers who live in a radius of 50 miles of Great Barrington.
Right.
And also mostly the directors and actors are also from within 50 miles. And this takes place in January.
Yep. But he's profiling three of the local playwrights who have contributed to this Radius series. And it's quite interesting. And there's more to come. He's going to there's a part two to this, or maybe part two and three to his series okay. of profiles of local playwrights. So that, I think that's
it is really remarkable. You know, when he talks about these playwrights, I mean, you know, the first one he's talking about is a woman named Liz Cummins, who lives in Lee, in the bucolic town of Lee, but she is a graduate of the NYU Tisch Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program, which is one of the most prestigious of its kind in the country, and she is, she's here in Lee. We have, it's very interesting, and I won't go through all of them, but... we have enormous talent living here. I mean, you know, I'm sure not. This is Berkshire's, but we're also, you have it in Northwest Connecticut too. I mean, this is a place where creative people come to write and to paint, and to compose. And we've been to this. David and I have been going to this. This Radius Festival since it started, I think it's 3 years now, and it's really terrific. So they're all short plays, 6 or 7 short plays, all written by local playwrights, and they all have tremendous potential.
All right.
So it's something to think about. I mean, we'll have more information about it, before it happens in January. But this is a really interesting article about who local playwrights are.
All right. Well, stay with arts here and a couple of other items that you are featuring this week.
Yeah. Well, we have a whole bunch of, 3 or 4 or 5 other little items that, since we're on the cultural beat, one of them is Wham Theaters putting on a production of Holland Taylor's Anne, which is Anne Richards.
They put this production on in the summer, and now it is moving on to productions in Washington and
right.
Dallas.
Yes, this is one of those, you might say, a real big success for a local theater production, mm-hmm. that it's being picked up in Washington, and it's really interesting. It's about Anne Richards, of course, that irascible governor of Texas.
Who said that George Bush was born with a
silver spoon in
his
mouth.
Or silver foot in his mouth.
A silver foot in his mouth, yeah. And this is quite amusing, and it has a great actor playing Anne, which is Jane Atkinson.
Who is also local.
Who's also local. Right.
Right.
And for people who don't know of Richards, they should investigate, because she was an amazing early woman, American politician who was the last, I do believe, Democratic governor of Texas.
Yes, she was, because
that's true.
She was succeeded by George Bush Jr. W.
So just imagine a woman winning in Texas. That many years ago, a Democrat.
Well,
woman,
but actually, don't forget Lyndon Johnson was from Texas. Also, Texas was Democratic for years.
But
as was the South.
As was the South. They would never vote for a Republican after Lincoln freed the slaves, and he was a Republican. But
here's the whole thing about that. If you remember the famous quote that he made to Hubert Humphrey after the historic Civil Rights Act was passed, Hubert Humphrey went up to him as his vice president, Lyndon Johnson, and congratulated him. And he looked at Lyndon Johnson and he said, "Congratulate me. You do realize that we've lost the South for the next 50 to 100 years as a party." And he was absolutely correct. Absolutely. Wow. An amazing quote that goes down in American history. Well, enough of that. Let's go on to the next look at Duke Snider.
Duke Snider is...
He's reviewing Cliff Sims' blockbuster book called Team of Vipers, which is about... his time in his 500 days in the Trump administration
as a communications specialist,
and he tells all and this is a review of that book. You know, it's probably not going to surprise many people of what he writes about, the kind of corruption actually in the Trump administration.
Now, and this is Duke Snyder, who is a pseudonym, but he has written. He also wrote a wonderful review for us of Michelle Obama's book about a few weeks ago. So he has been anybody who's interested. I mean, this is our sort of, you know, one of our few national politics writers. We also have another. We also have a regular, something regular called the Orange Alert, which is a sort of review of articles elsewhere having to do with the Trump administration. But Duke Snyder is a very interesting writer who has been following this beat for us, and the review is very interesting, and all his articles on national politics are very interesting. So he's somebody that your listeners may want to follow.
Yep, you can just look him up and search for his
Duke, D-O-O-K.
Yes.
Snyder.
All right, now let's go on to the YouTube video.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, well, this is great.
This is great. We have a music reviewer named Eli Neuberger. Actually, it's two. It's Eli and his wife, Carolyn.
She's not on this one.
She didn't write this one, but usually they're a pair. And they go to various cultural events at Tanglewood and at Jacob's Pillow. She is an artist, and she does illustrations while he listens and writes reviews, and he's a physician, from Boston, but he lives here now,
and he's also a Juilliard graduate
and
tuba player.
Yes, he's a Juilliard graduate who plays the tuba, and he plays in a jazz band in Boston.
And the jazz band is called Eli and the Hot Six.
Right.
Well, I would...
and occasionally that whole band comes and. Gives a performance here, but it might say that Carolyn, his wife Carolyn, plays the washboard in that band.
So, all I can say is you can get away with being a tuba player if you're from Juilliard.
Yeah, he's great.
No, he's a professional tuba player. I mean, he's played in Ozawa Hall. I mean,
And he's also a brilliant academic and physician. But at any rate, he... called attention to a YouTube video performance of a wonderful composition for tuba and piano.
And
we have the whole...
Yes.
We have the whole performance.
We have the whole performance. So this is the first time I think we've reviewed or had somebody reviewed a YouTube performance.
Because I'm just playing it now.
And it's quite interesting. It is very original, and he just was I think, entranced with this composition.
It's a 16 and a half minute tape, which we have on our site.
Yep.
And it's quite amazing, the cello and piano.
All right. We have about 30 seconds left to talk about It Takes All Kinds.
Well, I just want to mention, this is our last item here, our poet and writer... Laura Diddick does some of these wonderful illustrations, these caricatures, which are just brilliant. She calls it "It Takes All Kinds," and there are these characters that she creates. She reminds me of Jules Pfeiffer in a way that she has this really strikingly original style, and the whimsy and edginess of her caricatures is, and I recommend
every
it
Monday.
Every Monday.
All right. Well, just some of the stories. TheBerkshireEdge.com. TheBerkshireEdge.com.
He did it.
We will speak to you guys again next week. Okay.
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 Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.